Not something most people would volunteer for. She thanked Armstrong for this service, then asked her about it. Why so long?
It's because I'm crazy, as you seem to be suggesting.
Not me.
Well, you'd be right if you did. It's just that I'm better working on things than not. I experience less stress.
Stress about how our building runs?
Yes, it's very complicated. Lots can go wrong.
You mean like flooding?
No, that's mostly under control, or else we'd be screwed. It takes attention, but Vlade and his people do that.
He seems good.
He's great. The building is the easy part.
So, the people?
As always, right?
Sure isn't my line of work.
Mine too. In fact, the building itself is a kind of relief. Something you can actually fix.
You do what kind of law?
Immigration and intertidal.
You work for the city?
Yes. Well, I did. The Immigrant and Refugee Office got semi-privatized last year, and I went with it. Now we're called the Householders Union. Supposedly a public-private agency. But that just means both sides ignore us.
Have you always done that kind of thing?
I worked at ACLU a long time ago, but yeah. Mostly for the city.
So, you defend immigrants?
We advocate for immigrants and displaced persons, and really anyone who asks for help.
That must keep you busy.
Armstrong shrugged. Jen led her to the elevator in Bellevue's northwest annex that would take them down to the skybridge that ran west from building to building on the north side of 23rd. Most skybridges still ran either north-south or east-west, forcing what Jen called night moves. Recently, some new higher skybridges made bishop moves, which pleased Jen. She played the find the shortest route game when getting around the city. Played it with a gamer's passion. Shortcutting, some players called it. What she wanted was to move through the city like a queen in chess, straight to her destination every time. That would never be possible in Manhattan, just as it wasn't on a chessboard. Grid logic ruled both. Even so, she would visualize the destination in her head and walk the straightest line she could think of toward it, design improvements, measure success on her wrist. All simple compared to the rest of her work, where she had to navigate much vaguer and nastier problems. Armstrong stumped along beside her. Jen began to regret suggesting the walk. At this pace, it was going to take close to an hour. She asked questions about their building to keep the lawyer distracted from her discomfort. There were about 2,000 people living in it now, Armstrong answered. About 700 units from single-person closets to big group apartments. Conversion to residential had occurred after the second pulse in the wet equity years. Jen nodded as Charlotte sketched this history. Her father and grandmother had both served on the force through the flood years, she told Armstrong. Keeping order had not been easy. Finally, they came to the Met's east side. The skybridge from the roof of the old post office entered the Met at its 15th floor. As they pushed through the triple doors, Jen nodded to the guard off duty, Manuel, who was chatting to his wrist and looked startled to see them. Jen looked back out the glass doors, down at canal level. The bathtub ring exposed by low tide was blackish green. Above it, the nearby building's walls were greenish limestone or granite or brownstone. Seaweed stuck to the stone below the high tide line, mold and lichen above. Windows just above the water were barred with black grills. Higher, they were unbarred, and many opened to the air. A balmy night in September, neither stifling nor steamy. A moment in the city's scandalous weather to bask in, to enjoy. So these missing guys lived on the farm floor? Jen asked. Yes. Come on up and take a look, if you don't mind. They took an elevator to the farm, which filled the open-walled loggia of the Met Tower, from the 31st to the 35th floors.